Good morning. Thank you so much for joining us. I'm Twanda Black, your host. And in the news, police brutality, you know, Black Lives Matter, All Lives Matter. It's been an amazing few years of this, actually, what we see the militarization of American police. And PBS is doing their part to raise the questions and to keep it in the forefront. Marie Nelson joins us, Vice President of News and Public Affairs for PBS, and here to talk about this new documentary on Independent Lens, Peace Officer. How are you this morning, Marie?
I'm doing incredibly well. Thank you for having me.
Great, great. Tell us about Peace Officer.
Well, you know, I think that everyone can agree that the issue of guns and gun violence is something that's of incredible importance to the American public. And we wanted to bring documentaries forward that continue to explore these issues mm-hmm. from interesting and unexpected perspectives.
Mm-hmm.
And so one of those films, Peace Officer, is actually focused on a man who was a sheriff in a county in Utah for, you know, nearly three decades.
Wow.
And after, you know, bringing SWAT to Utah, 30 years later, he watches that SWAT unit kill his son-in-law in a domestic violence call. And this sets him off on a journey to understand, you know, the ways in which our police forces have become more militarized in mm-hmm. terms of their access to equipment and that level of training and the impact that it's having in their relationship with their communities.
Right, right. I'm sure that changed his perspective totally on, you know, his career, what his calling was.
Yeah, it was quite a challenge for someone who's had a committed career as a person in law enforcement.
Mm-hmm.
It really forced him to ask some deep questions, but to do that from the perspective of someone who understands the challenge of what it means to, you know, to police your community as well. So it's a very complicated relationship and understanding.
Wow. Wow. Talk about the filmmakers for a moment. Scott Christopherson and Brad Barber, how they became involved in this film.
Well, I mean, the fantastic thing is that Brad, I believe that Brad is actually from Utah,
mm-hmm.
And had, you know, had some experience meeting Dub, who's the sheriff, who's the main character of the film. So he had encountered Dub and had learned about his story, and then, you know, after having some conversation with him, I understand that he had a chance to go back to Dub is also happens to be an amateur pilot. And so he has a hangar where he keeps his planes, and he went, you know, to go and see, and he was saying to him that he'd been kind of keeping a workspace where he's been following all of these cases, and lo and behold, when he went into that workspace, it was mm-hmm. literally walls upon walls of crime scene photos.
Wow.
Deep levels of, you know, kind of forensic investigation mm-hmm. been doing for some time.
That's amazing. That is amazing. You also added into this whole thing town hall meetings so that people could have their say.
Indeed. What you realize when you watch both of the films, Peace Officer broadcast last night, The Armor of Light, which you know, looks at this issue from within the Christian community, the evangelical Christian
right.
community, and ask the question, can you be both pro-life and pro-gun? Both of these films really demand conversation. These are the types of explorations that we think that that the public should be having with each other. And so
mm-hmm.
not only did we were invited to host one of the town hall conversations in an evangelical Christian church in Florida called Northland Church, but we also wanted to make sure that all of the public would be able to join the conversation. And so we've actually created a way for folks to use Twitter and to tweet during the shows. And we're including those tweets into the broadcast as it airs tonight.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's an amazing, amazing film. And we pray that, you know, some kind of solution, some seed will be planted for both of these. Peace Officer is a winner of the Grand Jury and Audience Awards for Best Documentary at the South by Southwest Film Festival.
That's exactly right.
That's amazing. That's so awesome.
If it's okay with you, I would be happy to share with your audience how they might be able to
sure.
join this.
Absolutely.
This evening.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, you know, you can watch the films through your local PBS station or through pbs.org/armedinamerica. And the hashtag for tonight's town hall is #armoroflightPBS.
All right. It's going to be a great conversation. Are you going to be able to show that the town halls after everything airs as well?
Yes, yes. All of the films and the town halls will still be available for free streaming on pbs.org.
Great. Wonderful. Marie Nelson, Vice President of News and Public Affairs for PBS. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Good morning. Thank you so much for joining us. You know, and I don't know if you knew this, more than 400,000 kids are in foster care on any given day. That's crazy. This is National Foster Care Month. And believe it or not, even in our community, there are all of these kids who need a home. They live right here and they need our help. And joining us to tell us how we can make a difference is pediatrician and noted children's author, Dr. Laura Jana. Good morning.
Good morning. Great to join you on such a worthy topic.
Absolutely. I fostered for about 5 years, so I know what that's like, and I know the joy that you get from fostering. It is so awesome.
Yeah, that's great to hear. It's so nice that you've participated in supporting the system.
And I'll probably support again. I got to retire, though. So talk about, you know, 400,000 kids. That's crazy. That's a crazy amount of kids in foster care. Talk about what their needs are.
Sure. And, you know, you're very intimately aware of what their needs are. But you know what? I would suggest that we all are. Because what we need to do is think about what all kids need. And, you know, whether I think of that as a pediatrician or as a parent, or in your case, you've been a foster parent, but we know this. We know that all kids need food and drink and shelter and, you know, caring adults and things. And then we add on to it what keeps us really busy, the school supplies and the clothing and shoes and pajamas and some toys. And we know that that's what all kids need. But kids who are in the foster care system have those needs magnified.
Yes.
Unfortunately, lots of the foster care kids end up having to shift home, sometimes even a few times a year. Sometimes they have to leave without their personal belongings, and those kids become even more important to kids in the foster care system. The good news is that we all can help make a difference. We can't all be foster parents, and again, I'm so respectful of what you've done to make, you know, a caring, compassionate home available to children. But for those who can't do that and we're not all able to do it, everybody, parents and children alike, can do a lot to really help kids in the foster care system.
Absolutely. You know, what I learned really is beyond all of those things that they need, is that they just need some love and attention more than anything. Of course, I hated them coming to my house with plastic bags. So I bought luggage. I gave away every piece of luggage in the house. But they just needed some love and attention. I mean, there were other areas. Most of my kids were special needs kids, so we had some other things going on. But most of them, they just wanted to be around. They just wanted me to hug them. They wanted me to love on them. And it was just amazing. You just treat them the way you treat your own kids.
Absolutely. And I'm so glad you brought that up, because what I, you know, as a pediatrician, people often look at me and they think I'm interested in the medical and the things and sort of the biologic needs of children.
Mm.
What you just brought up is at the heart of why I'm so excited to partner with Mattress Firm. Because I believe that the other basic need that we do not want to forget about is kindness, caring, and compassion.
Yes.
And on the one hand, what Mattress Firm has done is set up an opportunity around the country to serve as donation sites so that people 6 times during the year can bring in those basic needs, those supplies.
Mm-hmm.
But what we've also got now is somewhere where all of us, we get busy, but we care. How can we help? It seems a little bit daunting when we hear the numbers. We can now all do something to help the kids in our community, because we can show up and donate this month, for example, clothes at a Mattress Firm's location, and it makes it very easy. But what we're doing is not only helping the kids in the foster care system, but we're also teaching our kids something really valuable and giving them the chance to practice kindness and compassion and caring. And that is as much a basic need, I believe, as anything else that we do for children.
Absolutely. Mattress Firm is hosting a Kids Heroes photo contest via Instagram, Twitter, and the Mattress Firm website. So talk about that.
Sure. So what I love is the idea that kids can be heroes, and even very young children can participate. All parents have to do, and this can be at a Mattress Firm store when you bring clothing in, or it can be on their own, run a drive, run a bake sale. But whatever they do to help support foster care kids in their own communities, parents can just snap a photo, use the hashtag #DonateForFosterKids, and that's the number 4. And all of a sudden, your child entered in the Kid Heroes contest, and they get the recognition of participating, but they get an even bigger reward in the sense that they now get to have that feeling that we know is so important about being part of something bigger, part of the community, and making sure that we've got sort of this sense of empathy and caring for others.
Absolutely. Now, May 23rd is 5 photos are going to be selected, so that's the deadline now, May 23rd. And then the kid with the most votes will win a $5,000 donation to the local Mattress Firm Foster Kids nonprofit of her choice, plus a $500 Toys R Us gift card. What kid does not want that?
Exactly. And again, people can submit their photos using that Donate for Foster Kids hashtag up until the 23rd. The top 5 kid heroes will then start over again with votes. You want to get people voting, supporting their efforts. And then in that last week of this month, those top 5 kid heroes will all get to compete. And yes, it's fun. What kid doesn't want a $500 gift card? But again, I believe the biggest reward is the fact that not only will they be able to contribute, to raising donations and bringing clothing in, but they can also then get $5,000 additional directly to the local foster care organization in their own community, which again is really a sense of accomplishment in the hero sense of an accomplishment.
That is a beautiful thing. Tell folks where they can go for more information.
Yeah, so that was a lot of information to go over, and the essence of it is really excited to partner with Mattress Firm, and they've made it very easy. You can go to the website mattressfirmfosterkids.org, and all of those details are available to everybody so that hopefully families and children get excited about participating in this really worthwhile.
You know what, and I love Mattress Firm for this, and so they have a new customer. I just feel that way. If they can support the community.
Me on this one. I was so excited to hear that they were doing this national commitment, and it's year-round in terms of the 6 drives they do, but this month has got this added fun Kid Heroes contest. So again, you and I can be fans together.
Absolutely. Mattress Firm fosterkids.com. MattressFirmFosterKids.com is the place to go.
I'm sorry, it's MattressFirmFosterKids.org.
.org, okay.
Yes, and then the hashtag for the photos, if people want to participate in that, is the Donate for Foster Kids, and it's the number 4.
All right, you don't want to miss it. We've got an opportunity to help these 400,000 kids in foster care on any given day. And Dr. Laura Jana joins us. Thank you so much.
Well, and thank you for all you've done to support foster kids. This is wonderful, and I hope everybody finds a way to participate in whatever way they're able to.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
My pleasure.
Good morning. Thank you so much for joining us. I'm Twanda Black. And, when we were kids, our parents always told us there were children in Africa starving or children in China starving and, not to waste food. And boy, do we waste a lot of food today. Joining us this morning, Dana Gunders, senior scientist at the Natural Resources Defense Council. And she's here to talk about a new campaign called Save the Food. How are you this morning, Dana?
I'm well, Twanda. Thank you.
Didn't your mom tell you to stop wasting food?
Yeah, we have just launched a campaign called Save the Food, and we are really just trying to get the word out there that there is so much food going to waste. And I know nobody wakes up in the morning going, I want to waste food today.
Right.
But it turns out that as a country, about 40% of all the food we have never gets eaten.
Wow.
And yeah, it's a huge amount. And, we invest so many resources in growing food. 80% of our water and half of our land go to growing foods. And so when we're not eating that food, it's a terrible use of those resources, and it's a terrible shame when there's still hunger in this food.
And
have so much waste going on.
That is so true. I went to the, I'm on the Save the Food website right now, savethefood.com, and it is just a vast amount of information on how we can do better. And it really is a shame how much food we waste.
It's true. Yeah. And with the savethefood.com website, we are really just trying to arm people with easy tips in their own life that can make a difference on wasting less food, because it's not rocket science, and it's not a huge effort. It's really just small things like making sure you're storing your food better, throwing food in the freezer when you think you're not going to get around to eating it in time, you know, having a dinner made out of everything that you need to use up in your fridge every so often, and easy stuff like that.
Yeah, I love it. And really, how to store it is like the best page, because, again, you're right. You know, if it doesn't look right, if the leaves wilt, we're like, oh, trash. And you're even telling us, no, that's normal. You know, don't throw certain things out because they don't look the way you want them to look. I mean, it's amazing.
That's right. Yeah. And, you know, storing food well buys you time to use it.
Mm-hmm.
And so on the SaveTheFood.com website, we have an area where you can actually just look up any kind of food you just bought and learn how best to store it. So you'll learn that strawberries, for instance, are best kept on a tray, you know, kind of in a single layer so that they don't get moldy when they touch each other. And basil is best kept in a jar of water, like cut flowers.
Right, right. Using leftovers helps the environment, and you talk about the difference between food eaten and food tossed, and that is just amazing.
It's true. You know, certain products like fruits and vegetables and seafood, we're actually wasting almost half of what we have in the country. And, you know, not only is it a waste of resources, but a waste of nutrition, really good, healthy food.
You know, you also talk about the money saved if we would just learn how to store and learn how to cook what we have.
Right. You know, when we're at the store, we're so price sensitive. And 10 cents will sway us one way or the other. And then somehow when we get home, we forget about all that. And yet, each family of four is spending about $1,500 on food that they don't eat over the course of the year.
That's crazy. That's a lot of food. And you know what? Those are things that we just take for granted.
They are. And, you know, I think some of it has to do with just the modern world we live in and how easy it is for us to get food. We actually waste about 50% more food today than we did in the 1970s. So it's in some way quite a new phenomenon. And, you know, the good news is it's something that we can take on pretty easily. And with this campaign, we're really hoping to wake people up to it, because as soon as you start to think about it, you kind of see it everywhere in your life, and it becomes very easy to make slightly different decisions in order to waste a little bit less.
Exactly. You say that food is the single largest component of solid waste in U.S. landfills, about 25% of the nation's fresh water used to grow foods, and it all gets trashed.
And, you know, no matter how organically our food is grown, it still takes a lot of resources, and all of those go to waste to throw the food out.
Now, today, and I mean, you know, it'll be passed by the time this airs, but I want everybody to know that today you're actually shining a light on global food waste. You're in Manhattan, you're in historic Union Square Park, and what are you going to do today?
So today we are holding an event called Feeding the 5,000, and we will be serving 5,000 meals made out of food that would otherwise have gone to waste.
Wow.
And a lot of it comes from farms where the fruits and vegetables don't look quite right, so the grocery stores don't want to buy them, and yet they're still, you know, tasty and nutritious.
Right, right. And then you're going to provide, you know, some meals to the soup kitchens and food pantries throughout the city.
That's right. There will be 5,000 meals served right here in the square, and then another 5,000 that will be going out around the city.
Amazing, amazing. Tell folks where they, I mean, we talked about it, SaveTheFood.com. Is it SaveTheFood.com?
That's right, SaveTheFood.com, and you can get all sorts of tips on planning your meals, shopping smarter, storing food better and recipes to use things up.
All right. Dana Gunders joins us. Thank you so much for sharing. SaveTheFood.com is where you need to go, y'all. We need to wake up. Thank you so much for joining us.